Celtics tonight continues from the Garden. Celtics and the LA Clippers here on Valentine's Day night, final game before the All-Star break. Strange things always happen on this night around the league. Our conversation with the head coach, which is pretty normal every night, is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Proud to celebrate 20 years on Fortune's 100 Best Companies to Work For list. Now hiring all skill levels in a store near you. Search for jobs online at WFM.com/careers. As we head into the All-Star break, I'm sure you have a good answer now that you probably cultivated, which combines your respect and appreciation for All-Star Weekend versus your deep desire to probably not go and spend time with your family. There has to be some good answer there, some happy medium, right?
It's one of the cool events for the NBA, and I'm looking forward to spending time with my crew for a couple of days to kind of not necessarily disconnect, because I think you're always engaged in it, but certainly to get away for a couple of days.
So excited for those in your locker room that get to go.
Thrilled. Yeah, I mean, that's a great opportunity for them, and it's awesome that they get a chance to, get a chance to experience that, you know, whether it's the fifth time or it's the first time when you're talking about Jason and Jalen.
What was odd, I thought about Sunday, when you think about some of these games in recently, like the Indiana game, and maybe even in Toronto, is that it actually seemed to start well. Am I crazy? It seemed to start pretty well.
We started really well. Yeah. We started really well on offense. We were not great on defense, but we weren't terrible either. And, you know, those guys, to their credit, made shots at a high level throughout the whole game. And then, you know, we had a couple of possessions there at the end of the second quarter, and then found ourselves down 9, cut it back to 9 at the start of the third quarter. They came right back down and hit a 3, and we could never get closer. It just felt like it was a harder game to get back into reach, and we just didn't have the same margin that we've had in some of our comebacks.
Here's an open-ended one that has probably 100 different answers, but it's vague enough for that. But our teams defending you differently than they were early in the year? Or do you sense teams approaching what you have been doing offensively differently after having the success you had early in the year?
It just kind of goes game to game. Yeah. You know, each team's a little bit different in how they guard, how they like to guard. Teams change all the time and tweaks and what they like to do based on game or based on, you know, where they are in the season, how their defense is playing generally. So I don't know if it's necessarily teams are it's, you know, as much as it is, we haven't been as good offensively. Now, we've been a lot better since our 3-game homestand right after London. And so, like all the January numbers and the such are a little bit skewed based on those first 6 games or so. But, hey, that's our issue. We've got to get a lot better there. There's a lot of things we can do defensively too. And balancing, the fact that we're going to win games on the defensive end with the fact that we need to figure out a way to score enough is where we are.
And maybe that kind of leads me to this. Sometimes I selfishly and lazily use this segment to get answers to questions that people ask me all the time that I end up not having a good answer for. Mm-hmm. And one of them is this. Aaron Bane's numbers when he plays, and you know where I'm going with this, the defensive numbers are obviously off the chart, and generally speaking, there has been success the more he plays. It's sort of an easy number to play with, and you can do whatever you want with numbers. But the idea that you need to have 4 shooters on the floor in this day and age, that's sort of one answer to it. But is there a legitimate correlation between Aaron playing more and this team playing better, particularly on defense?
Well, I think the defensive numbers are the answer. I mean, I think he's an elite defender. He's great at protecting the rim. When people run into him, when he jumps vertically, they bounce off of him. He can move his feet laterally way better than people realize. He had numerous switches in the last few games that were outstanding. He can just play, and I think that's ultimately why we've started him for the majority of the year. Obviously, we've tweaked it here and there based on matchups, but he can really impact the game on the defensive end of the floor. And then he has games where he really scores the ball, but, a couple of those were when Al was out.
Yeah.
So I think at the end of the day, he's a big part of our team, and it's kind of what I was saying earlier about he's such a good defender, and that's where our bread is buttered as a team. That's how we win. And defense and rebounding, and he does both well.
Maybe not as dramatic as the Cavaliers changes, but here comes another team that looks completely different from the one that you saw 3 weeks ago. Avery Bradley's here. Tobias Harris is here. Austin Rivers is back. And not only do they look like a completely different team, they look like a much more dangerous team.
They're really good. They're really fast. I say that they're very much a modern, like, quick, athletic team that at four positions are hard to match up with, as far as driving it on the perimeter. And then at the five, it's just, you know, him diving to the rim, you know. And I think that if you take all the bigs that have probably played and you say the rim runners and rollers and rebounders, he's as good as it gets at those types of things, because if you throw the ball near the rim, he dunks it. So I think this is a heck of a team. They're playing very well, coming off of a win where they absolutely dominated Brooklyn, which we know is really hard to do there. And we're going to have to play great tonight.
We had that long-running joke about people asking you about the Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett era, but you do and have developed a relationship with Doc Rivers, who obviously left a huge imprint on this organization. And everybody who is connected to this team and was here when he was here has a certain view of him, both on the court, off the court, as a coach. Your relationship with Doc the last couple of years, you've had clinics and things like that. When I say Doc Rivers to you, the basketball coach, what do you think of?
You know, I never knew him when he was the coach here, other than maybe talking to him on the phone, you know, a handful of times at most. It was more after I took the job, getting a chance to sit down with him, spend time with him. We're on some committees together, so I've gotten a chance to spend even more time with him. And, you know, he's a guy that knows the game inside and out. He's a guy that's really well respected around the league by everybody. And you can see why. I mean, he's a great guy. He's got a great vibe to him. And obviously is a terrific basketball coach.
That's the head coach. Does having a game tonight get you out of any husband responsibilities that may or may not be associated with this specific day on the calendar?
I would say that of the people you know, I'm probably not the best at holidays. And it's an area that I definitely need to improve. Let's put it that way.
That's the head coach.
Does that sound like I might be in trouble?
Was better than your answer on All-Star Weekend, and obviously clearly had not been as much thought, which is pretty telling as well.
Yep.
Celtics and Clippers next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.